You can turn with us to two spots, Amos chapter 1 and then Exodus chapter 19. Amos chapter 1 and then Exodus chapter 19 will be to both momentarily. Of course, a few weeks ago now, we began our series here in the book of Amos, and thus far, up to this point, we have seen two of the book's three major characters have been introduced to us. We have seen, of course, Amos, who the book is named after. That was in our first message, our first study. And then our second study a few weeks ago, we looked at the second character of the book of Amos, that, of course, being God himself. And although there are important kings mentioned for us in Amos, chapter number 1, verses 1 and 2, the third character that we're going to see, the third character we're going to look at is actually not one of these kings. It's not actually even a person that we're going to look at, but the third character in the book of Amos is actually a group of people. The third character is actually a nation. And so you're there, Amos chapter 1, and notice, if you would, verses 1 and 2 again. Amos chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says this: the words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. And so I want you to notice that phrase there, where it says there, the words of Amos, which he saw concerning Israel. And so our first character is Amos. Our second character, the second focus of the book, is God himself. But then the third focus of the book is this nation, is Israel here in Amos. Now, what we have to understand about this is that God was in a covenant relationship with Israel. Now, don't let the title or the concept of a covenant relationship scare you, because a covenant relationship is not that difficult to understand. A covenant relationship is not all that hard to define, but it's absolutely crucial for us in understanding Amos's message from God. And so God here, he's in this covenant relationship with Israel, and a simple way to understand a covenant is, just for lack of a better term, that it's an official agreement. And God entered into a covenant relationship with Abraham, who at the time was Abram. He promised him a nation. Israel would come from him. And then God redeemed Israel from slavery in Egypt. And then after all of that was done, after God had redeemed Israel from their sin, and after he had redeemed them from their slavery in Egypt, God would enter into a national covenant relationship. He would enter into an agreement with Israel over in Exodus chapter 19, and we're going to get there here momentarily. But that covenant is what we refer to as one of the very first covenants that we find in Scripture, and that is known as the Mosaic Covenant. And this is the covenant relationship that we must understand to fully grasp the message that Amos has here for Israel, starting in chapter number 1 of Amos. So with that thought and that idea in mind, go ahead and flip on back to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, the second book there in your Bible. Exodus chapter 19. And look, let's read there verses 1 through 8. Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 8. The Bible says, "In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and he shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord." So here in Exodus chapter 19, we find two events that take place. Number one, we see God has redeemed his people from slavery in Egypt. Now, over the last several months, especially on Sunday morning, we've talked a lot about typology in Scripture, about how certain events are actually pictures of another event. And any time in Scripture where you see the concept of slavery in Egypt, it is dealing with, it has the idea of being slaves to sin. And you and I, before we were redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where we found ourselves. We were slaves in Egypt. We were slaves to sin. We were slaves to the world. That's who we were before the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us. And so here we see God, he redeemed his people from slavery in Egypt. So he takes them from the world and he sets them free from the world. But then the second event we see is that God and Israel, they agree on this new covenant. And as we read these verses tonight, and as we look at them a little more in depth, I want you to just consider how amazing it is that mankind, now in particular this account is dealing with the nation of Israel, but overall just consider how amazing it is that mankind, you and I, we can have a relationship with a holy God, and not just have a relationship with him, but we can actually enjoy him. We can actually enjoy fellowship with him and enjoy knowing him and enjoy reading his word and enjoy spending time in prayer and enjoy having him speak to us and guide our lives and lead us the way that he should be allowed to every single day that we have breath. And to think that because when we realize who we are, that we are sinners deserving of a real place called hell. But yet the God of heaven, the God who created this world, he wants to enjoy us and he wants us to enjoy him. And so the first instance, notice there if you would, Exodus chapter 19 and verse number 5, because that's the first time that we have the word covenant mentioned between God and Israel. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. I could preach a whole sermon just on that one verse right there. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, at this point in the story, he has already redeemed and set free the nation of Israel. And now he's saying, okay, here's what I've done for you, and now here's what you're going to do for me in return. And it's simple. If you'll obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you're going to be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. I want you to realize something tonight, that when God looks at you, he sees a treasure. You know, we often talk about when the Lord Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, that if you were the only person that lived, if you were the only person that existed, he would have went to the cross for you. And he would have went to the cross for me. Hebrews, the Bible talks about, in fact, go there. Keep your finger in Exodus. We'll be back. But go over to Hebrews. And I believe it's Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and Hebrews chapter 12 and beginning there at verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1, the Bible says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Here we have a command from the very word of God. And listen, we all struggle with sin. We are sinners saved by grace. We still struggle with sin. But we can, with the Lord's help, lay those sins aside. You know, I never buy into these sob stories out there where people say, I just can't stop sinning. Yes, you can. With the Lord's help, yes, you can. That wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that it says before us. How can we lay aside that sin? Verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Those times you want to sin, consider Jesus. Those times you want to do your own thing, consider Jesus. It says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That means the mockings. That means the beatings. That means the cruelty. That means the crown of thorns. That means the beatings, the blood shed, and everything else that he endured on the cross. He did so for the joy, the Bible says, that was set before him. Who was the joy set before him? It was you. And it was me. When he was dying on that cross, he saw you and he saw me. And so in Exodus chapter 19, when it says there, ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Listen, you are valuable to God tonight. You are a treasure to God tonight. You are a treasure to Jesus tonight. It says, for all the earth is mine. Everything that we see in this earth tonight, this world, it belongs to him. You know, we sing the old Sunday school kids song, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. That's who our God is tonight. That's who he is. And when he looks at us, yes, we're sinners. And yes, we're deserving of hell. But when he redeemed us and saved us and took us from sin, we became a treasure to him. And later on in the New Testament, it talks about in Peter how we become a peculiar people unto him. That when the world looks at us, they're going to think that we're strange and different and weird. But when God sees us, we're exactly who we're supposed to be, because we're a treasure to him. And he proved that by sending his son to die on the cross for our sins. And so this covenant here in verse number 5, it's often again referred to as the Mosaic covenant. Because Moses, he was the mediator. He was the middleman, as it were, between God and Israel. And now in the New Testament, the Bible talks about how there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And so now you and I, we have our own mediator that gets us to bridge that gap between us and God. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's crucial tonight for us to understand just how this covenant impacted the relationship between God and Israel. And we think tonight of why it's crucial to know this covenant, this agreement came after Israel was delivered from Egypt. You know, we might start to think some things if the covenant came before Israel was delivered. We might think that their redemption and freedom from slavery in Egypt, that, well, it was based on their obedience or their keeping the covenant. No. Instead, God redeemed them and then gave them the law. Their obedience to the law was based on what God had already done. And see, that's the same with us and our salvation. You and I, we don't work for our salvation. We serve God and we live for God and we do things for God, but we don't do it in order to be saved. We do it now because of what God has already done for us. It's like the verse says, we loved him because he first loved us. You notice here, notice if you would, verses 3 through 6. And we notice whose idea it was to have this covenant. Verses 3 through 6 again. The Bible says, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And so we see here that the idea for this covenant wasn't the people's idea. It was God's idea. And the agreement was simple. In verse number 5, if they obeyed, they would be viewed by the nations as a special treasure of God. They would be viewed by the nations as being blessed by God. So, Israel had a decision to make. They could either accept the covenant, or they could reject the covenant. Let's see what they did. Notice verses 7 and 8. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. So here was Israel's response to the covenant. Here was Israel's response to the agreement. They agreed to the agreement. They agreed to the covenant. They said, all the Lord speaks, we will do. Everything he says, we're going to do. A covenant is very simply an agreement involving at least two people or two parties. In the case of this, the Mosaic Covenant, the two parties are God and Israel. This covenant was agreed upon by both God, who initiated it, and Israel, who accepted it. And in this agreement, Israel would have certain obligations, and Israel would have certain responsibilities. The whole reason we have the book of Amos is because Israel had broken this agreement. Now, I want you to notice how serious God takes this. Go, if you would, Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and beginning at verse number 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Everything that God says, we're going to do. Israel broke the covenant. They were what Proverbs would call here a lying tongue. Verse number 18, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Listen, you read your Old Testament, you find if Israel was good at one thing, it was finding mischief. It was falling into sin. And here in Proverbs chapter number 16, the Bible says, these six things doth the Lord hate. If you make a promise, if you make a covenant, keep your promise. Listen, when we have the altar call, you come down here and you make a promise to God. Listen, it's only you and God who knows what you make that promise about, or in your prayer time, or whatever it is, listen, if you make a promise to God, you best make sure you keep that promise. Because God does not deal well and does not like those who make promises to him and break those promises. Look, if you would, Jeremiah chapter 11. Jeremiah chapter 11. Final portion of scripture tonight. Jeremiah chapter 11. Jeremiah chapter 11 and verses 7 through 11. Jeremiah is a very interesting book if you ever read it. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah preached for years and he never saw one single convert. Never saw one single person repent of their sins, but yet he still preached. Jeremiah chapter number 11, notice verse number 7 through verse number 11. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice. So God is saying here that since the very early days, I protested with them. I begged with them, obey my voice. But verse number 8. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore, I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. And the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words. And they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant which I made with their fathers. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. Israel, boy, the Lord redeemed them from slavery in Egypt. He took them out. He freed them. He made them a free people. And listen, even all along the way, even with their complaints and their unthankfulness to God, he still brought them out of Egypt and out of sin and out of the world. He says, okay, now that I've done that, all you have to do is obey my voice. And you're going to be a national or a peculiar treasure. The other nations, they're going to look at you and they're going to see that you're blessed of God. Jeremiah 11, 8, yet they obeyed not. You say, what on earth does any of this have to do with us today? If you're sitting here tonight and you can remember a time that you trusted Christ as your Savior and you got saved, then with that salvation came some obligations. With that salvation came some responsibilities. And God has said to you, if you'll obey me, you'll be a blessed people. But yet we have Christians all over this world and all over this nation. They think that all they had to do was get saved and it was a get out of hell free card. And then they can go and live their life like they want to live their life. And they don't think there'll be any repercussions. I want you to notice here again, Jeremiah 11, verses 8 through 10. Or 8 through 11. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. And notice what God says. Therefore, because they did this, because they refused to obey my voice, because they refused to listen, because they refused to obey, therefore will I bring upon them all the words of this covenant which I commanded them to do, and they did them not. And the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words. In other words, I took them out of slavery. I took them out of sin. And instead of staying out of sin, they looked back and they went back and they went back to the pig pen. And God said here that they went after other gods. They refused to hear my words. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, and here it is, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. I want you to know something tonight. If you have gotten saved, and you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, and you claim to be a Christian, and you constantly find yourself going back to sin, and you constantly find yourself going back and refusing to hear the words of God, refusing to obey the words of God's voice, eventually you're going to find yourself with some evil brought your way. Eventually you're going to find yourself with some repercussions from God. You're going to be sitting there thinking, man, what on earth has happened? You know, I'm a Christian. I should have all the protection of God in the world. Listen, if you refuse to obey Him, you take yourself out of that umbrella of protection. And the Bible tells us that those that He loveth, He chastises. And as my pastor used to put it this way, eventually he's going to take the Board of Education to the seat of learning. And he says here that, and though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. The only cry that he'll hear from you is that prayer of repentance. So tonight, you got saved. That's great. That's a wonderful thing that you got saved. You got born again, but you have to realize something. That when you got saved, you entered into a covenant relationship. You entered into an agreement with God. And with that agreement came some responsibilities. And with that agreement and with that covenant came some obligations. Tonight, if you claim to be a redeemed people, are you living up to those obligations? Are you living up to those responsibilities? I liken it to this. Manny and I, we just celebrated our 10-year anniversary back in January. We've known each other longer than that. We've been together longer than that. But we live in a day and age today where that, and listen, we have our intense moments of fellowship. We have our, are times where we, you know, we're at each other's throat, so to speak. But I'll tell you right now, I'm not leaving her. And listen, Miss Rebecca, she sent me a text message the other day, and I forgot to respond. I still have to respond to it, but you know, she said basically, you know, something to the effect, you know, your vows and sickness and health, and you know, all of that. And well, we've seen a lot of sickness, you know, in our marriage over the last 10 years, you know, she. You know, and Ms. Rebecca says, again, I can't remember what she said, but I just thought, looking at that text message, she says, you know, yeah, it goes both ways. And I started thinking, well, you know, when's she going to be sick so I can take care of her a little bit, you know? And I hope she doesn't get sick, because then you'll have two sick people and, you know, having to take care of each other. But, you know, but we live in a day and age where it's a, you know, a society where people just throw it away. I mean, things get hard and things get difficult and things, you know, don't go the way you think you should go. And, oh, well, we'll just, you know, call it quits and that'll be it. Listen, marriage is a covenant relationship. Marriage is a promise that, you know, when you stand before that preacher, you say, till death do you part. Unless you can mean it, then you ought not to say it. And now listen, I know we live in a sin-sick world, and we live in a world where, you know, that's not the way it always is. But anytime you enter into marriage, it should be till death do you part. Now listen, sometimes you might be the death of one another, but hey, it'll still be till death do you part. But listen, I've told a story. We lived in Oklahoma, and going through Oklahoma City, they would advertise for quick and easy divorces. On this, listen, there's no such thing as a quick and easy divorce, especially if you have kids involved and, you know, all the rest, because there'll be more that suffer than just you. And it goes with anything, you know, churches, you know, people come, they join, you know, and become a member. And then something goes wrong. Listen, becoming a member, that's a covenant relationship. That's a promise between you and God. God says, hey, I want you to be a member. And we have people, they just change churches like they change their socks. They change spouses like they're changing their socks. Folks, that ought not to be. We need to get back to where, you know, I heard the story all the time, and my dad, he used to tell it all the time of, you know, there used to be a time where, you know, you could have a handshake agreement with somebody, and you would know that handshake agreement was good because you knew people that they were good for their, you know, for their word. But now you need a, you know, a 200-page legal document to, you know, come to any sort of agreement. Then people are still looking for loopholes to get out of things. Folks, that's not the society God intended. God intended that, you know, we make a covenant, we make an agreement, we make a promise that we become people of our words. Because let me remind you tonight, He is a God of His word. And He keeps His word. He never breaks His word. If He says something, we can count on Him 100% sure. And so tonight, we need to learn to be a people of our word. Israel, they weren't. They didn't obey. They didn't keep the covenant. And now there was some judgment coming as a result. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight.